Beauty Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, or the Sisters of Mercy. Today, my visitor is Sanjay Theodore. Sanjay, a warm welcome and Haida Maita O'Reilly program.
Kia ora, thank you.
Sanjay was born in Northwest India but grew up in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and has been working on the radio and researching for TW documentaries before taking up this current role as mission communicator for the Sisters of Mercy Ministries Trust. He's responsible for documenting the relevant news, interviews, and stories in all of the Mercy entities throughout the country and the Pacific. Sunday, we're now approaching the Sisters of Mercy's Foundation Day, the 12th of December, and I thought it would be good to invite you to the studio and to talk a little bit about your recent visit to Dublin. That's where the history of the Sisters of Mercy started. After this experience, will this Foundation Day be different for you?
It puts everything into a lot more of a perspective, and I'd have to say that Catherine McCauley, for me, having been to Baggot Street and seen the environment that she created, is not a historic figure anymore, because it was an abstract, the whole exercise was an abstract exercise. When you're actually, it was like teaching in a rote system as opposed to immersion. So now, for me, Catherine McCauley, and more importantly, the sisters as a whole, are a living thing. She was quite a pragmatist, a realist, and she wrote some pretty bad poetry.
What do you mean bad? Bad in poetry or criticizing people?
No, she just used to, I think that was her way of stress relief. She would just write these little ditties, which are just hilarious, just to let some steam off.
Yeah.
I think one of the main lessons I learned there was the fact that she was also surrounded by quite incredible people that made her who she was, and her life experiences living where she grew up, basically adopted and looking after a household in Coolock House and learning to deal with servants and their problems and quite a big household. I think that's what prepared her to be able to deal with a diverse range of people.
So she, by learning how to deal with the servants and their problems, she would know how to accommodate new sisters with their histories, with their backgrounds, and creating that new convents.
I think what it was in a time when there was no mass media, no news in the way we know it, she sort of had a finger on the pulse by talking to people of all strata of society. So she knew the lowdown and what was happening and was able to utilize that experience and that networking when it came to the sisters later. And I think she also, working with people, realized that she could see the strength and the leadership abilities in different people and then nurture that and let them fly.
So she really supported people to go their own ways.
That's right. She was not a micromanager.
Oh. Very good. So you learned that by walking within the building or listening to stories, or can you tell us more about this experience?
Well, going out to Coolock House, which is a little bit out of the centre of Dublin from Baggot Street, and then imagining the place as it would have been, which is completely isolated, surrounded by farmlands in its day, that jump made me realise what it was like for her to grow up there, well, to develop. And then going into Baggot Street to see where she chose quite strategically, you know, the most upmarket part of Dublin where she could make a connection with the wealthy and the poor. And in fact, one night I went out to an area where I'd gone earlier in the day just to see what Dublin would have been like, because that area is still quite deprived. There's a lot of junkies, a lot of problems. And it gave me a bit of an insight into what it would have been like in Catherine's day. And sadly, I think that she would see this today, the problems that are happening as unfinished business. So that made me, they gave me a connection to a person and not a historic figure.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Sanjay Theodore, and we are talking about the Sisters of Mercy, the origin, Dublin, and especially Catherine McCauley. And you've just been in Dublin, and must have been a wonderful experience. You walked the ways that she walked. Did you feel the spirit?
To be quite honest, I didn't feel the spirit. I was just kind of overwhelmed because Dublin's quite a busy city. But what I did capture was when we went to visit her grave, which is in Baggot Street, and now originally she just wanted no pomp and circumstance. She just wanted to be buried like everybody else. That kind of struck me because she was pretty much every person in a nutshell, and I really, really connected with that. But I also connected with her big picture, ability to be able to grasp a big picture in choosing Baggot Street. And also walking around, of course, we did the walking tour of Baggot Street to see where she would have gone, the things she might have seen. But it took a bit of a leap of the imagination because Dublin's moved on.
And you said that you were doing the walking tour. Is that something that is open for anybody, or is it just because you're part of the Mercy Ministries?
It was part of the tour of people that I was with. We did, and it was quite a diverse group. We had people from Australia, people from the US, and then we had healthcare workers from Cork, as well as two staff members that were part of the Cork group from India. But it was just for us to be able to connect with Dublin, and it took like basically a day just to walk around.
So tell us a little bit about this walk.
So we went and walked to the original place where Catherine grew up, which is unfortunately now quite changed, but there's enough of the architecture to be able to see that. We also walked around to see where she'd been professed, and I've got some good footage of that on our Instagram channel, which is Tiaki Manatu Instagram, just to see what she would have seen. And that's where I actually saw there's a sort of community housing for people that I think they might still have dependency issues right next to it. So it's really not much changed in the sense that the problems that she would have seen in her day, that they were quite, they were different in terms of domestic abuse of the servants and the position of Catholics and really low down in society in Dublin. But it gave me a bit of an insight as to how you can have religion and need side by side, and how she would have made the connection.
Do you think that she would be happy for what has been achieved? Because the situation might be even worse, certainly, because there's so much outreach from Baggot Street and from other Mercy Ministries, and still there is this need today. So the world has not changed in a way that it's that the need is not there anymore, but there are a lot more people, and so everybody's doing his or her little bit.
I think that Catherine would have expanded and kept expanding had she lived longer or encouraged that. And I think today she would see a need more than ever, especially with our environmental problems. I think she would be tackling that and poverty head on. And I think the mechanisms that she's left with the sisters, the responsibility for us, people like yourself, and as associates, to carry that on is more needed than ever.
And when you were together with the other people from Australia, United States, India, did you connect and find some ways where you can encourage one another to continue the work, maybe to see new opportunities?
Yes, we both, all of us, met formally and informally and realized that there's quite a lot of shared issues. And we've kept in touch by email since then to talk about different things that we can help each other out with. And it's interesting how you can form these little communities so much easier now because, you've got such great media, so we're continuing on with that. Yep.
And are they all in the mission team or in different teams?
They're in different teams. Some are. There was one person who was the head of their organization, another person who was a was sort of second in command, and then you had actual nurses. So we had the cross range.
Yeah. And are you going to implement it now in your work with all your experience?
Most definitely, yes. Yeah. I think one of the biggest takeaways was we went to Glendalough, which is out of Dublin, which is a really nothing to do with Catherine as such, but the organizers thought it might be a nice way for us to do sort of like this pilgrimage around this ancient site. And as we were walking around, I was actually speaking with a sister, and she was explaining the discernment process when the sisters get together and they talk about something and how they take on board other people's points of views and try to figure that out for themselves and then reach an agreement that's a win-win for both people. And that was really interesting because I could see in that process Catherine's Quaker influence of listening.
And is that a procedure that is copied by all Sisters of Mercy?
Well, we've
is
got
that the same. I don't know.
Well, the sisters use a discernment process.
Yeah.
Here, I don't know about elsewhere, and I know we use something called M theory, which is mercy theory process. So we've got all of these different things happening, but they have got a similar. They've all got the same. The same core, which is listen to the other person first.
And that seems to, you mentioned earlier that Catherine McCauley chose Beckett Street as a strategic place. So this is another way of strategically getting the support for a long time if you listen to people and you implement what they are thinking. Is that?
Yes, exactly. And that's all about not taking your own agenda with you. So any agenda, you either dismiss or park, and you listen to the needs of whatever community or entity that you're there for, and then you act. And you may not even act because you might realize, hang on a second, I'm not actually really needed here, or they need this, this, and this, and how can I go about helping?
Do you have any stories that you can share with us from Dublin, some events or something that happened to you, something that really sticks in your mind?
I think what really struck in my mind was that my family was with me, and we'd gone to Glendalough, separately with the sisters, and then I'd spoken to my wife. I was staying at Baker Street, and she was staying at another place with our daughter, and they'd gone themselves to Glendalough. They did it all by themselves, and that was quite phenomenal because we were able to connect about Catherine through that shared experience, and because my family came and met me at Baker Street, I was able to show them around. So it became a much more powerful experience because my family was part of it then. Yeah.
And when they came back from Glendalough, did they have something completely different to share?
It was quite interesting. We all had quite similar experiences.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it must have been the place.
Yes, it was definitely the place had its own spiritual vibe.
So, Sunday, we were mentioning the Foundation Day, the 12th of December, which is coming up. And so, with all this experience, what are you going to do differently, or what are you going to do with the Sisters of Mercy for this Foundation Day?
For this Foundation Day, I'm going to go all out because since last Foundation Day, we also have a new leader, Richard Keobel, we've launched an Instagram channel, a YouTube channel, and our Facebook has really taken off, the Mercy Women New Zealand Facebook page. So because of our expanded media presence, I'm going to be going out and recording a lot more of what's going on in Auckland, in any case, during that day.
So you go to the different Mercy ministries and see what's happening there?
Yes, and I will be able to record what's going on there. And
are they all going to have ice cream and strawberries? Or strawberries and cream?
Well, I think there's a couple of places that will have it. I can't talk for all of them, speak on their behalf, but...
we'll have it.
Well,
so if you come and see us, then you have to come to morning tea and we'll have strawberry and ice cream.
Well, if you throw in a Jenny Craig voucher, I'll definitely come.
What is that, a Jenny Craig voucher?
It's for dieting.
Okay. And so, by the way, is this strawberry and ice cream, is this a Kiwi invention, or did the Sisters of Mercy have that in Ireland? It's cold in that time in Ireland.
I didn't hear of that in Ireland, but to be honest, I didn't ask about that. As far as I know, in New Street, it's quite a strong tradition, but I'll have to ask...
New Street, you mean in Auckland?
In Ponsonby. Yes, in Ponsonby. It's quite a strong tradition.
Yeah. So maybe it was cream, but I don't think that it was strawberries in Ireland, because it's hard to get strawberries in Ireland in December.
Yeah, they might have dyed their Guinness pink or something. I don't know what they did.
Okay, so tell us more about your work now, because you just mentioned that you have a lot of social media connection, and you're writing articles, you're writing blogs also.
So what we're doing is we've got the Taki Manatu website, and on that website it's actually really a portal now with stories about our boards. First and foremost, it's about the Taki Manatu board and our various ministries. So the stories are really aimed towards that. Also, there's an education part of that. So I write stories in collaboration with our Facebook page, so that the stories can be put on the Mercy Women New Zealand website Facebook page, and also on Te Aki Manatu. So those stories have a different flavour. They're a lot more, they're shorter, they're a lot more concise, and I'm speaking directly to the kids. The other articles are more your sort of garden variety board inductions, or people leaving our various boards, which is quite interesting too, because you get to learn about different people that have given voluntarily quite big chunks of their lives to do service for us, which is actually quite rewarding when you get to see that, be part of it. Our Instagram is something that I'm quite excited about, because you can take pictures, 1-minute videos, and you can link that with Facebook or any other social media, so you've got a far greater reach. YouTube is invaluable, because you can make documentaries, interviews for any length you like. You can make a 10-minute doco that if you want to, or I prefer under 2 minutes or a minute, because sadly people's attention spans in the 21st century aren't all that great.
Which is a shame, because our interview is 30 minutes. We still hope that people are listening and are connecting and hearing more about your experience.
Yes, no, look, I'm old school. I prefer the long read when I'm looking at websites. Like, if I'm looking at The Guardian, I'll look at the Extrapolated or CNN, or sadly BBC is not what it used to be, but...
Well, I often download the interviews on a CD or on a USB stick, and then you can listen to them while you're in a traffic jam. And in Auckland, you have lots of traffic jams.
Yes, the real challenge now is to attract listeners. How do you make something, like, for example, if I'm asked to cover a meeting of sisters talking about issue X? Now, you can have some interesting presentations, but unless they're kinetic, someone's getting up, the whole group is doing something physical, you don't really want to be videoing a bunch of talking heads for half an hour. You know, it just does not look good. And the message is lost, no matter how powerful it is. So I'm always looking for a visual in. The story has to be obviously visual. So that's the biggest challenge, is to make something that's got a really interesting core message, mercy value, or one of the corporal works, or something Te Aki Manatu is doing, which is based on one of those things, and making that interesting for people to watch on Instagram, YouTube, or our website.
Well, I think that for the radio, at least we can use it while we are in the traffic jam. We don't need any visuals for that.
No, I think the interesting thing with the radio is that people have to use their imagination.
Absolutely.
You know, if I say a leafy forest, with a gentle breeze on a sunny day, people are going to visualize that.
Like when you say Baggot Street, and you have to imagine, how does Baggot Street look like? Is it a fancy building? Is it a very plain building? Is it white or is it grey? And so for many people who are connected to the Sisters of Mercy, they have seen pictures. But still, you say that you've been there and the experience was very different because you've seen pictures, you've heard people talking about it.
Yes, the Baggot Street is mostly Georgian architecture, and there's a real push in Dublin to keep that the way it is, which I think is a great thing. Baggot Street itself is an imposing building, imposing because it's not overtly fancy, but it has enough of a presence so that you know there's something important that happens there, or has happened and continues to happen. And there are two sculptures outside, black sculptures, and of course the famous red doors. And as you enter, it's really completely unpretentious. It's probably one of the most unpretentious places I've ever visited and had the pleasure of staying. You're greeted by a small room to the left, which is a reception, and then in front of you is a beautiful cobblestoned floor, and then there's a staircase not far from that that takes you up and down, or a lift, and then to the left of that is a chapel. The chapel is beautiful, really peaceful, but again, it's completely unpretentious, but it does have that sort of aura about it that you know that something important continues to happen there and has happened there in the past. But it actually has Catherine's personality, which I imagine to be her personality, which is quite vibrant, quite light. And by light, I mean sunny, even on a grey day. But you know that serious business is also happening.
It sounds very practical.
Yes, that's the word I would use. Thanks, Beata. It's practical.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, when you mentioned Baggot Street, you immediately talked about the house in Baggot Street. I met an Irish man the other day who said he was working in Baggot Street, and I said, oh, you were working for the Sisters of Mercy. He said, no, I was working in Baggot Street. There is the house of the Sisters of Mercy, but he was somewhere else in Baggot Street. But it's your mind gets so connected, especially, I think, if you have not been to Ireland and you hear Baggot Street as synonymous to the house where it all started.
Yeah, Baggot Street is actually one of the major streets in a city, Dublin. It's in an area called Dublin 1 and Dublin 2, which is an expanded, and the topography extrapolates from there to the, you know, different numbers get larger as you move further out. And Baggot Street actually ends in a sort of a mall area, and that is sort of quite a vibrant place as well. Yeah, it's a long street, and it's a very, very prosperous street. It's sort of like if you're in Wellington, the Kandala, Karori, or if you're in Auckland, Ponsonby, Rimuera. If you're in Christchurch, it would be Kashmir Hills, Dunedin, Māori Hill. So that sort of an area.
Yeah, so she knew where she placed the house. It was a strategic decision.
Absolutely, and I think that, if she was alive today, imagine what she could do with that kind of a mind.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. So I think that we have learned a lot about Baggot Street. And at the end of this interview, we'll play the song The Circle of Mercy, which is almost like a hymn for the Sisters of Mercy.
Wonderful.
Wonderful song. And which, when you listen to the words, you hear a lot about Catherine McCauley's call and her work and what the sisters are continuing. And with the sisters, the lay people today.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Sanjay. Let's have a look what we at the Mercy Spirituality Center are doing in the next week. Well, we're getting closer to Christmas, so we have less programs at the moment. People are preparing for Advent and for Christmas and for the summer break here in New Zealand. But this week on Friday, the 7th of December, so which is today, we'll have on special request a repeat of my evening talk with the topic Sacred Expedition, and we'll look at the evangelization and settlement in early California. And you might think of San Diego and Santa Barbara and San Francisco, all these missions, they were established by the Franciscans, and I'll talk more about these mission stations. And then next week on the 11th, 12th and the 13th of December from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, we'll have Sister Christina Cathro, who is going to facilitate three morning retreats with the title Who Are You, O God, and Who Am I? And one of our first programs next year will be a morning with Father Chris Skinner, who will share and teach a number of his musical settings to the Psalms with a theme of gratitude. Gratitude is the theme for our Mercy Spirituality Center 2019. And with this music workshop, we'll have some introduction in the music of the year C, which has just started last Sunday. And Father Chris Skinner will come to St. Columbus Center in Vermont Street. So it won't take place in the Mercy Spirituality Center, but we are all going to St. Columbus Center. And it will be on Saturday, the 23rd of February, from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And for all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Thank you very much, Sanjay, for having come here and for sharing some of your experience in Dublin. And I wish you all the best for your work in the mission team.
Thank you, Beate. For our listeners out there, I encourage you very much to come to the YouTube, our YouTube site, which is Tiaki Manatu Media. And if you're on Instagram, it's also Tiaki Manatu Instagram. And please visit the Mercy Women New Zealand Facebook page.
And so I wish everybody a blessed Friday and a good week ahead. And I hope that you tune in again next Friday. Thank you very much.